We're going to turn God's Word to Romans chapter 8, the passage that we read together. Book of Romans in the chapter 8. I want to speak a little phrase that's found in verse 34. Just read that verse 34. Romans 8 says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." I want to speak of the little phrase that says Christ is at the right hand of God. I want to look at this today in the Bible. I hope you'll be encouraged as we think of this together of Christ. He's sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. So let's pray for his blessing and for his help. Father in heaven, I pray you be with us around the Word of God. I pray that you'll come and speak to us. Thank you for that tremendous hymn. We've been singing about Christ in heaven, and now we're going to preach about him in heaven. And I pray a great, Lord, blessing to the hearts of all of us, your dear people. Close us in with thyself, defeat all distractions that may come against us all, Lord. Give us hearts and ears to understand and listen to thy word. I pray now for thy blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that every child of God should have the desire that the Greeks had when they came to Philip. Because in John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 21, they came to the disciples and they came to Philip and they said, "Sir, we will see Jesus." I remember these men were at Jerusalem at this time at the feast of the Passover. There were many other things could have claimed their attention. They could have said, "We want to see Andrew. We want to see Peter. We want to see John. Or we want to see this great city of Jerusalem, the great sites. Or we want to see the temple." But they never said any of these things. They said that we would see Jesus. Well, this morning when you come to God's house, have you this desire burning in your heart? I want to meet with Christ in this meeting. I want to hear his voice. As we open up our hymn books, as we sing, I want to see Christ. As we read the Bible, as we have come to preach the Word of God, is it your desire that we will see Jesus? It should be. It should be my desire and every child of God in this meeting that you will say, "I want to see Christ." The sight of Christ is greater than all the sights that's in the world. As Christians, we can see him, of course, by faith. And we see him, of course, when we come to the Bible. We see him in all his humiliation. Because in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor." And when you and I come to the Bible, we can see Christ in all of his humiliation. He's God, he's Lord, he's King, yet he came into this world in poverty. He was rich. He became poor. He loved us. That's a great step, my friends, from heaven, from glory, down to this old sin-cursed world. And then we can see him in his crucifixion, because in Matthew 27, verse 35 says, "And they crucified him." And you and I can open up the Bible and we can read about the crucifixion of the Son of God. How Jesus Christ died, how he suffered, how he shed his blood upon the cross for us. And we come and sing that great hymn. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and I pour contempt on all my pride and all child of God." If you're down in the very depths this morning, just stop and survey the wondrous cross. Think of Calvary. Think of the death of Christ. And he died for you to save you. We can see him. If you're unsaved, I want you to see Christ this morning by faith in his crucifixion. And then we can see Christ in his resurrection. We're glad, as Matthew 28, verse 6 says, "He's not here, for he has risen as he said." And what a glorious message we have when we come to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not in the grave. He is risen. And friends, he's alive forevermore. And we come to the Bible. We can see these things. We can see these things about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of His people. And we can see Him also in the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it tells us in our text, it is Christ that died, yet rather is risen again, who was even at the right hand of God. Where do we see Him now? He's at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. That's where He is. You think the Apostles' Creed, and some people learned it. I probably learned it myself when I belonged to the Church of Ireland years ago. And a great statement, no doubt, and great truths are found in the Apostles' Creed. It goes along each step and shows us something about Jesus Christ. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered on a Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, which is the grave. The third day, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And you can go through all the different steps here of the Apostles' Creed about the Lord Jesus Christ's birth, His death, His resurrection, and where He is. Where is He? Go by the Creed. He's sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. This is where He is. I want to say to you this morning, child of God, in this meeting, this is where Christ is now. He's at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in heaven. That's why we sang that hymn this morning. Enthroned in heaven is Jesus now upon His heavenly seat. The kingly crown is on His brow. The saints are at His feet. And He's sitting, friends, at the right hand of the Father in heaven. I want us to look at Christ sitting at this place. I see here a number of things. I see, first of all, here's a place of prominence. The right hand of God. Now, this is, of no doubt, a distinguished position. It certainly is a distinguished place of position. When we come to the Word of God, we think of Bathsheba coming to Solomon, her son. And when she came in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 19, he got a seat. And he said, this seat is for my mother. And where did he place this seat? She sat at his right hand. The best seat in the palace, beside the king, friends, it was at the right hand. He was making sure that his mother got the best seat. Where is Christ? He's at the right hand of God. A distinguished position, a prominent position. We see its greatness, you see. There's no greater place in the universe than the right hand of God in heaven. And when Peter was preaching at the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, he says in verse 32, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof are all witnesses, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted. And the Apostle Peter leads the people in no doubt where the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's been exalted to the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. There we have the greatness of this position. There's no greater place in the universe other than the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. In Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, He sat down on the right hand of the majesty of God on high. This is a place of prominence, a place of greatness. There He is, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's sitting at the right hand of the majesty on high. We see not only His greatness in His position, we see His glory. Remember here that the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting beside the throne of heaven in heaven. He's not in some building. He's not in some palace. He's not, my friend, sitting in the greatest castle in this world. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the greatest throne that ever is, my friends, in heaven. He's sitting in glory. I know when Stephen was being put to death in Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, and he being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked steadfastly into heaven and he saw the glory of God. But he saw something else. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, the Lord Jesus rose to accept them. But listen, He saw the glory of God. That's where Christ is. He's sitting in this place in heaven. This seat at the right hand of the throne of his Father in heaven, and the greatness of this position and the glory of God surrounds the whole throne. In fact, everybody falls at his feet and they worship Christ. I say, think it's also a distinguished position. It's a deserved position. Does the Lord Jesus Christ not deserve to be sitting in the right hand of the Father in heaven? Look what the Apostle Peter, or Paul, says, the previous words of our text. He says, it is Christ that died. Now, before he tells us where the Lord Jesus is now, he tells us that he died. He brings his hearers to the cross at Calvary and talks to them about the crucifixion of the Son of God. He died. He shed his blood. He suffered. And he rose again. And then he went to heaven. And the same lesson he brought out in Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. And so he's telling us about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins, and then he says he sat down at this right hand position. I want to say to you this morning, he deserves to be sitting here. He deserved to be in this place. He died for our sins. He came into this world. He says, Christ that died. Now you and I know that Christ means the Messiah, the anointed one. We find, of course, in the Bible, and over in Philippians chapter 2, that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he came down into this world as a man. We come to the Bible, we find about how he was taken by wicked hands and crucified. He was slain, he was mocked. We read in God's Word how he was spat upon, how he was whipped, how he was nailed to the cross. Oh, dear friends, we think of God's wrath falling upon him. He died for our sins. He suffered in our place. You see, Christ had died. And Paul here is telling us he died, he went to the cross, he suffered, he loved you. And then he sat down. And then he sat down. I say to you this morning, he deserves this seat. Do you know anybody else who deserves this seat better than Christ? Do you? I don't know anybody else. You can read the Bible, there are great men of God, great servants of the Lord, but nobody deserves this seat more than the Lord Jesus Christ. He died, friends. Then he sat down. He deserves this seat. You think about the victory of his death, of course, that he finished the work. Christ died once for our sins, according to the Scriptures. We certainly do not believe in the false teachings of the Roman Catholic Mass. Every day, many times perhaps, they're putting Christ, as they think, to death. Another sacrifice. The shedding of his blood, friends, is blasphemy. Christ died once. He finished the work. And then what did he do? He sat down. He sat down. He satisfied divine justice by his death. And we find that when we come to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, for he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. His atoning work. He satisfied God's justice. God has said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so Christ died. He was punished. He paid the price. He didn't know, my friends. He suffered greatly upon the cross. You see, he satisfied the divine justice. God was satisfied. He was satisfied with what Christ did on the cross at Calvary. And also when he died, remember that he put away sin. And Paul brings this out in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And notice here that he purged our sins. He washed them all away. And he died upon the cross. Friends, what did he do? Then he sat down. He sat down. The work was finished. cried, remember, at the cross, "It is finished." Jesus paid it all. He paid the price that you and I could not pay. He paid the price for our sins. And then he sat down. He deserved to be sitting in this place because he loved me. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. We would rise up and give him the seat ourselves if we were in it and he walked into the room. He deserves his seat because of his sacrificial work upon the cross. Remember, he destroyed the works of the devil as well by his crucifixion, by the shedding of his blood. In 1 John 3 and verse 8, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The works of the devil is death and destruction. But Christ came and he destroyed the works of the devil. He deserves this seat. What a work he accomplished. Remember, he said, "I finished the work which I givest me to do." Friends, he died, he suffered, he conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered the devil, and then he sat down. He deserves to be in this position. That's why Paul is telling us, Christ died, and he went to this place, the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. In Mark chapter 16, verse 19, remember, he said to the disciples, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God." And there we're told again, he's sitting at the right hand. He's sitting down. Hebrews says he's sitting down. Where is he? He's sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. A child of God, rejoice. Our Savior, which was rejected, despised and hated, suffered and bled and died upon the cross. He's in glory. That's why we sang that great hymn at the last there. Behold him. He's in heaven. He's crowned. He sat down. Here is a place, may I tell you, a prominent position. He deserves this place. He's our Savior. And I want to say another thing, that it's a place of power. The right hand of God. The right hand is a symbol of power. I'm not saying nothing wrong with the left hand, but if you're left-handed, but it's a symbol of power in the Bible. Take, for instance, the song of Moses. Moses was singing after that great victory that God had brought them out of bondage. He says in Exodus 15, verse 6, "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power." And then he says, "Thy right hand, O Lord, have dashed in pieces the enemy." And Moses, remember, he's singing here. They're singing, God had brought them through the sea. And they're praising God. And he's saying, "Lord, thy right hand." Here's how you did it. It was your right hand, that mighty right hand of power, that opened up the sea. It was your right hand, Lord, of power, that overthrew the enemies. You see, here's a place of power, the right hand of power. Isaiah said in Isaiah 48, verse 13, "Mine hand also has laid the foundations of the earth," the Lord is saying, "and my right hand has spanned the heavens." And here we can see that the right hand is associated with power. And the Lord Jesus Christ, where is he sitting? He's sitting at the right hand of God. A place of power. I want to say to you this morning, there's not a more powerful place in all the world or this universe than this place. If you happen to go onto a computer and type in who's the most powerful people in the world, well, they come up with different names. Of course, they will be all jockeying for position of this. They tell us, and I'm only the president of China, he's number one. Putin there in Russia, they've him number two. And then we have Trump. He's number three. Well, he actually thinks he's number one. That's not right. But that's all right. I'm going to go on the polls. He's number three. And then that lady over there in Germany, she's number four. And then we have Papa, the Pope. He's number six. So you got all these different lists. The most powerful person that's in the world. And Christ is not on the list. He's not on the list at all. But I want to tell you, he's over all. He's in the most powerful position in the world. He's number one. He's number one. Well, think what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. He says, "Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." And Christ has been questioned before the crucifixion. His enemies have him surrounded. And he tells them here in Luke chapter 22, verse 69, "Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." And so Christ tells us this is a place of authority. Here's a place of power. It's the power of God, he says here. And that's where Christ is. He's over all. He's over all, friends. He's sitting on the seat at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And I come to the Bible that tells me it's a place of power. The very power of God. That's where he is. Of course, if you come to the Bible, you'll find that is true. Everything's under Christ. I want to read some verses to you in Ephesians 1 and verse 20. It says, "Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." It was telling us the same truth. Christ, here it is, he's sitting. God did this. And then it says, "Far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that is to come, and has put all things under his feet." Everything has been placed under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ as he sits at this place. And here's a place of mighty power. The Bible is telling us the Lord Jesus is in charge. The Bible is telling me this morning, Jesus Christ is on the throne. The Bible is telling me because Christ is sitting in this place, he's ruling the world. Sometimes we think the world is out of control. It's not so. It's not so. It may look to be out of control. There may be things in your life that seems to be out of control, but it is not. All things is under the authority and power of the man at the right hand of God. Here's a place of power. We all know the expression, the right hand man. Man, we use it sometimes. Oh, we talk about some such a person who works in a place and you say, "See that man, he's the right hand man." That's a place of power, authority, wherever he is. Now, it's a place of Christ in 1 Peter 3, verse 22, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and power being made subject unto him. The right hand is a place of authority and power. Now, you think what Christ said. Did he not say in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven," listen, "and on earth." He tells us that. He tells us, "I'm number one." Not Putin. Not the man from China. Not Trump. Not Pope Francis. But here, the Lord is telling us, all authority, all power in the heavens, listen, or in the earth, is given unto me. He's all over all. Everything. And you come to the Bible, we see, of course, he has power over sin, he has power over the devil, he has power over sinners. Sometimes we think they're ruling the world, not so. The Lord allows them a little rope on them and lets them do their bits, but he's ruling over all, friends. There's a great verse in Psalm 103, verse 19. It says, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and listen, his kingdom ruleth over all." Over all things. The Lord is ruling over all. He worketh all his plans from this place. This is where he's ruling, controlling the world. This is his seat of government, his seat of power and authority. It says in Isaiah 43 and the verse 13, "Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." And he says these words, "I will work, and who shall let it, or who shall hinder me? I am going to do my will in this world. I will work. Who's going to come against me?" Nobody. Nobody will. And this great power of Christ will one day be seen in this world, because Psalm 110 verse 1 says, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And they're saying here to the Lord Jesus Christ, sit here until this day is coming at my right hand. Until this day, you will go into the world and you will tramp down all my enemies. And all your enemies. You know, if you're not saved, he's coming to trample you down. He's coming to deal with you. He become, you're an enemy. You're an enemy of Christ. He is not with me, he's against me. You're not with him. You're not saved. You're living in the world. You're running after sin. You're far away from God. You may come to his house. But that's not enough. You must come to Christ. You must repent. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who was the Savior of the world. One day he's coming to put down all his enemies. Sometimes we get vexed what's going on, perhaps, in the world. What we see, what we hear, but remember this, he is in control. And that's a great truth for God's people. It means that he's ruling over your life. He has all things under control. Sometimes maybe you think everything's out of control. Everything. But it is not so. It is not so. Now that's faith, of course. That's not feelings. Because we can certainly rise up in the morning and you feel that my whole life is out of control. But it's not so. When you read verse 28 of this chapter, of Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, then things are certainly not out of control. The Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at this place of power and authority. And he has everything. He has the whole world in his hands. Now, if he's holding the whole world in his hands, and where are you? You're on the world. And they just bring out the children of that assembly. We're traveling at 67,000 miles an hour around the sun. And the earth is spinning at the right place at 1,000 miles an hour. Here we are today. He's the whole world in his hands. He's in control. And you're glad he is in control. Put all your burdens and troubles into his hands, the man at the right hand of God. He can trust him. You can trust the man at the right hand in a firm, in some place. Well, why people would say, you can trust him with everything. Tell your friends, you can trust Christ. If you're not saved, you can trust him with your sin and with your soul. If you're saved this morning, burdens and trials in your heart and life, things are out of control and you can do nothing about it. Take it to the man at the right hand. The Lord Jesus is in this place of power and authority. He's at the right hand. He's Lord, he's King. He's in control. I said lastly and very quickly that it's a place also not only of power and prominence, it's a place of prayer. And that's what Paul brings out here in Romans chapter 8 for all of us about Christ. It says in that particular verse, in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And so here we find, what is Christ doing then at the right hand of God? Here's another duty he's doing, performing. He's praying. He's praying. And notice here his prayers are for his people, because he tells us here that he's praying, making intercession for us. Who's he us? It's God's people. It's God's people. Those who's redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's praying for us. And there's great prayer in John 17 and verse 9. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are for thine. And dear friends, he's praying, and he's praying for all of his people. And I want to say to you today, he's praying for you. He's praying for you. Sometimes people will say to you, I'm remembering you. You have a situation that's maybe breaking your heart, you can't control. And someone says, I'm remembering you. And maybe they meet you 6 months later and they say to you, "No, what about that? I'm still praying for you." Well, you're encouraged. But remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's praying for you. He's praying for you. He's praying for His people. And what a privilege that is. Paul could say to the church of Philippi, chapter 1, verse 4, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy." I just want to encourage the believers at the Philippi. He says, "Always in every prayer, I'm praying for you." But dear friends, what a comfort is that the Lord Jesus speaking my name before the throne of heaven. He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about your needs, your trials, your problems, your troubles. I said, bring them to Him. Well, He's praying for you. We sang that hymn, "Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me." For me, He's praying. For me, child of God, you can say that this morning. He's praying for me at the right hand, the throne of God. Well, that's a privilege, of course. And think about it, He's always praying for us. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, "Wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him." And I said these words, "Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them." He's always praying. Always praying for God's people at the Father's right hand. There are times we forget to pray for people. But the Lord Jesus never, He never forgets. He ever liveth. He's always praying. He's always praying. There are times we need sins forgiven. 1 John 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Dr. Jones said, the word "with" means face to face with. It means He's always looking into the face of the Father. And you know, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He prays for us when we fail, when we fall. He brings our case before God in heaven. You see, He's at the right hand. He's in the right place. Have you fallen, child of God? Have you failed in the past week? Or in the past? And you're grieved and you're troubled? Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to Christ. He pray for you in heaven. And forgive you, of course. He prays that we might be strengthened, of course, as well. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18, He is able to succor them that are tempted. That means to give strength to aid or to relief. That's why we're told in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We can come boldly to this throne. We can come to Christ. There's times we need mercy. There's times we need strength. We need help to go on. Then you come to this place. You come to this person. We come to Jesus Christ. He's the man at God's right hand. And He's speaking for us. He's praying for us. And one day He's coming for all of God's people. It's a place of prayer. And I hope today by faith, child of God, that you've seen Jesus at the Father's right hand. The place of prominence. The place of power. He's over all your situation. The place of prayer. He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's the man at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. And one day He's coming to bring us home. And we'll be with Him. And we'll see Him in all His glory. And we'll be with Christ forevermore. I wonder, will you be there? Someone in the meeting not saved? Not ready to meet God? And you know it in your heart that you're not ready. You're not right with God. It's time to repent and to trust Jesus Christ. He can save you today. He'll hear your prayer. Come to Him with all your heart. Turn from your sins, or it's too late. And He will save you. And He will give you everlasting life. He's a man at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. May God write His word upon all our hearts this morning. Let's just close. in a wee word of prayer. Let's pray. Pray God bless the word to all our hearts. Any questions, speak with us. Pray God bless His word. Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us, and we pray that I would write thy word upon all our hearts. And Lord, that we will encourage all of us to think of Christ. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of majesty in heaven. What a place he deserves to be there. When we think of what he has accomplished for us and how he died for us to take us home to heaven. We thank you it's a place of power and all is under his control. And Lord, a place of prayer and he's praying for us. Our names are even graven on his hands and in his heart. Write these great truths upon all of our hearts. I pray that your people has been encouraged today as we have sought to bring Christ before them. Do take us our separate ways now, Lord, I pray. And take us all to our homes in safety. And bring us back again tonight into thy house. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.